Genesis 22, beginning at verse 1, and we shall read several verses to ensure that contextually we see what the message is. Genesis 22, beginning at verse number 1 and verses following. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Now, a better word for that is test. That God did tempt Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, This is Isaac, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Amen. We read 13 verses, but we wanted to set context so you could see a substitute for Isaac. Amen. Amen. A substitute for Isaac. We're living in a time now where substitutes are prevalent. See, many things are many substitutions. Amen. You'll get a prescription for a name brand drug and you'll take it to the drugstore and they will substitute. Instead of the name brand, you'll get a generic. And there's a little small note that says, the doctor said it's all right. Amen. In athletics, there is always substitutions continuously. And the one thing that I remember as a young man going to high school, Phyllis Wheatley High School in Houston, Texas, Fifth Ward, I remember two players that were continuously being substituted. Vernon Nichols in, Murphy Porter out. Murphy Porter in, Vernon Nichols out. That was throughout the game. There were substitutions. Amen. Amen. But in our lesson today, we see unveiled the loving doctrine of substitutionary atonement.
That's right.
Very early on, we are shown very vividly the atoning grace of God. From the time that man sinned, God began the process of redeeming mankind back to himself. But we must also take note that after man sinned, they were driven out of the garden. An angel was placed at the entrance to the garden that would prevent man from going back in and eating of the tree of life. Which also says to us that man of his own initiative would not be able to reclaim the eternal life that God had promised for him. Simply put, it said God had to take the initiative and make sure that man would be reconciled to him, but man couldn't do it of his own. It required a substitute. When we look at the lesson today, we see so many components that I really want to, this could be about a four sermon series, but I want us to look at some things today. We see enclosed in this type, we can see God's love to us in Christ as reflected in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Man was not able to do it, but God, seeing man's undone condition, and he takes the initiative to reconcile fallen man back to himself. And so really, in this message, you could say, instead of saying a substitute for Isaac, you could say a substitute for and insert your name.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I could say a substitute for Amos.
That's right.
And you could say a substitute for Vanessa. Amen. A substitute when we so richly deserved the wrath of God being poured out on us, but yet God chose, amen, to provide substitutionary atonement. And we see it played out in this substitute for Isaac. In this passage, there is an awesome revelation of the mind of God. Amen. The scripture begins with, after these things, now, much had transpired. Isaac is probably in his young manhood. Isaac is the son of promise. Amen. He is the son that God promised an old man and an old woman that they would have. And he is the son that came, amen, as a result of God intervening. Hallelujah. The Bible says Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. That's not the fellow that you usually want to see pushing a stroller with a baby there, saying, "This is my baby." Amen. I sometimes would take my grandchildren and go to the park, and I would try to pass them off as my children. Couldn't do it. Amen. Everyone quickly said, "Oh, your grandchildren." And it just burst my bubble. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, Sarah had laughed at the prospect of having a child, saying, "Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" And then she posed a question which all of us need to consider. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Answer, there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And as you go through your trials and tribulations, we need to know that there is nothing, there's not anything that is too hard for the Lord. What we need to do is to invite the Lord into our business. Amen. Isn't it amazing how we know we need his help? Amen. But we are too proud to call on his name. But I would suggest to you, when you're going through your trials and your tribulations, know that help is available. You simply need to call on Him. But several things I want us to take note of, and we shall try to keep it, rein it in. In verse 1, amen, the scripture says, I love this too, and it came to pass that God did test Abraham. Amen. And I want us to think really clearly about the test. Now, in the scripture, as we said, it says tempt. But it really means Abraham. It means he tested Abraham. For James 1 and 13 tells us that God does not tempt. Amen. Satan tempts us to fall. But God tests. And there's a reason for tests. Amen, amen, amen. And I want you to get these because it has so much to do with a substitute for Isaac. Amen. Number one, God tests us to confirm our faith. Amen. He tests us to confirm our faith. Uh-huh. Amen. God will test us to test our obedience. God will test us to learn God's will. And then lastly, God will test us to refute Satan's claims. But let's examine these. And let's start with, rather than confirm faith, let's look at first, test obedience. Because that's really what got us where we are now. If you go to Genesis 3, we find that God had given Adam a test. Amen. You may eat of every tree, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. Guess what? Adam flunked the test. Now, it wouldn't have been so bad, but when he flunked the test, you flunked the test. Now, come on, talk to me. Amen, amen, amen. When he failed his test, in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, it is so amazing that we oftentimes say, you know, if Adam hadn't, but the truth of the matter is, I sinned. And don't look holy because you sin. But we have a substitute that covered our sin. Hallelujah. And so it's not so much simply about a substitute for Isaac. He is a substitute for us. And it is so important because a lack of obedience caused us to fail the test. Amen. And we still do that. God tells us clearly what He wants us to do, and it is no doubt what He is saying, and yet we choose to disobey Him. But life is hard. Amen. Life is hard when we choose not to obey God. Amen. When God gives us instructions, it's not to take away from us, but it's to enhance our lives. Amen. Amen. Jesus came that we would have life, and that life more abundantly. Amen. He didn't come to take anything away from you. He wants you to enjoy life in its fullest. But to do that, you have to do it the way He says. And if I understand, and you understand, that God is a loving Heavenly Father, then He looks out after us as His children. And He demands obedience from us. Praise the Lord. When we obey Him, life is so much better. Amen. Amen. Because the constraints that He places upon us is to keep us out of trouble. Amen. We look at things and think because there are constraints that He's trying to keep things from us. But God knows what's best for us, And he wants to ensure that we receive that which is the best for us. And so we have to learn to obey him. You know, a couple of quick things on obedience. It is so amazing to me that in times of economic downturn, that we fail to understand the blessing that comes from giving. Amen. God knows how to bless you out of your trouble. Amen. Now, you know, folk will say, there goes that preacher talking about money. No, there goes that preacher trying to help you get where God wants you to be. Amen. God says, you know, and it is so amazing when he poses the question, will a man rob God? And really it's rhetorical, because the truth of the matter is, he knows that men are robbing God every day. How are you robbing him? With your tithes and offering. He said, try me. In other words, test him. Amen. Put him to the test. See that he will not pour out a blessing that you'll not be able to contain it. I got to tell you, folk, if you want the Lord to bless you, do it his way. Now, I would also have us to understand that the Lord requires obedience and not discussion. Let's look at the text again. The Bible says God tells Abraham to take his son, his only son, and take him to a mountain that he's going to show him. You notice there's not any discussion. Lord, why? You know how long we waited for Isaac? Lord, you know, there's no discussion. It's simply, Lord, I hear you and I will obey you. And my brothers and sisters, when we hear his voice, the Lord is looking for obedience. Our problem comes in, amen, when we require a discussion. Amen, amen. I used to tell my kids, and if I could tell them that, you know the Lord can. Amen, amen. How come you want me to do it? Because I told you. Amen. And no, end of discussion. Amen. Because I know what's best for you. Isn't it amazing? And I got to digress for a minute. Isn't it amazing that the child that's 14 knows more than the father who's 30? Isn't that amazing? We just know everything. Amen. And you know, when dad is 42, you know, we had another 12 years, and now our child is a little bit older. He recognizing how smart dad got in those 12 years. Dad, you sure learned a lot. Well, truth of the matter is, all right, I got to move on. The Lord requires obedience, not discussion. The Lord requires obedience and not always an explanation. Amen. You'll note in the text, there is no explanation as why he wants to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. He simply has the instructions, take him. And in verse 3, Abraham rises up early to follow the instructions. Amen. And so it is so essential that we understand obedience. When we fail to listen at God, when we are disobedient, we flunk the test. And then number 2, we talked about confirming faith. And this is how you really show you have the faith of God, is when you obey him. Amen. We like to brag about our faith. Oh, we got the faith to move mountains. But if we're not obeying God, if we're not moving in faith, amen, we're not demonstrating faith. Look again at the text. The Bible says in verse number 5, he says, Abraham says to the young men who had accompanied him, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Yeah. Amen. Abraham doesn't understand all that's going on here. But one thing he knew, that if God told him to do it, then I'm going to obey God. Amen. He had faith to believe that even if he had to slay him, some way God was going to resurrect him, because he says, we're going to come back again. Look at what he says. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Amen. He can see God moving, amen, in the discussion that God is having with him. Now notice, verse 6 says, and this is such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son. I hope y'all can see this. He laid it on his son. This is the same. Now he's going to take this wood and take it for an altar that he might be offered as a sacrifice upon. Well, can I tell you, many years later, amen, a distant relative of Abraham took some wood on his, went up a hill called Golgotha. Amen. With the intent that that wood would be where he would leave his life. But God had a substitute. Amen. And you see, when, let me move on. I don't want to go there. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come again to you. Amen. Number 3, we said the test will cause us to learn God's will. Amen. Abraham is not aware of how God is going to do this, but, amen, in response to what Isaac says in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, behold the fire. We've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Amen. We got a problem here. Amen. I got the fire. It's in a container. I got the wood. I'm carrying it. But I'm looking around. I don't see the lamb that's got to be here for the burnt offering. Amen. But listen. Hallelujah. Listen at what Abraham says to Isaac. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. We've got to learn the will of God. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but one thing I know, it is your will that all should come to repentance and none should be lost. Amen. And so I'm going to trust you. Amen. I know that you want my son to live. And I don't know all that the intricacies of this, but one thing I know your heart. Yeah. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, you might not know all about God, but you ought to know his heart. You ought to know that God loves you, and God loves you with an unconditional love. And you ought to know that God wants the best for you. And whatever God needs to do to provide the best for you, amen, verse 14 tells us that's why he's called Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who will provide. And I don't know whether that makes you happy or not, but boy, it makes me happy. Amen. I've got a substitute. But look at the last, amen. It refutes the test, the purpose of a test. It refutes Satan's claim. Amen. You see, Satan already believed that all of us are going to go to hell with him. Now, can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? Satan knows he's going to hell, and he's working as hard as he can to take as many of us as he can with us. And until you come to the Lord Jesus, you're on your way to hell. Oops, did he say that? Yes, he did. Amen. Until we come to the Lord Jesus, amen, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through the Lord Jesus. We have to know that the Lord Jesus provides access to the Father. Without him, there is no access. Look at the text, and I'm almost done. And the angel of the Lord called unto to Abraham. Amen, amen. Now verse 10 says, Abraham is in the process of getting ready to take his son's life. But I'm glad that he came that we would have life. He didn't come that the thief come but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life, and that life more abundantly. The knife goes back, and he's ready to begin his forward thrust, and a voice calls out to him. Amen. And you'll notice he calls out twice, Abraham, Abraham. He wanted to be sure he had his undivided attention. And God is still calling us today that we, amen, that he might have our undivided attention. We need to know that it's in him we live and move and have our being. That without him, there is nothing we can do. But I got to tell you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Every time somebody comes to the Lord, amen, that's another soul that Satan just missed. And I don't know whether that excites you or not, but it excites me that every time someone comes, well, it must excite those in heaven because there's rejoicing in heaven over one that comes to the Lord. But I want you to know that Satan is looking at all of us, seeking whom he may devour. Thanks be to God that there is a sacrifice for Isaac. And there's a sacrifice for both you and I. For look at the text. The Bible says in verse number 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now in Abraham you passed the test. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son. And it always amazes me that God, when he refers to Isaac, he refers to him as his only son. Now, the truth of the matter is we know that Abraham had another son, didn't he? Amen. But you see, in God's eyes, amen, when we do things God's way, and this is part of what I want us to see in this text. Amen. In a substitute for Isaac, it always has to be done God's way. We have a tendency to want to help God. Can I tell you something? God does not need your help. Amen. God is able of his own to take care of the business. Have I got a witness? Amen. For before there was a when or where, God had made sure that there would be a ram caught with his horns in the thicket. Amen. There wouldn't be no way that Isaac would be killed, because God's plan, amen, was to teach Abraham to trust him in everything. But more than that, it's God's plan to teach us to trust him in everything. Amen. How oft times we get upset and we start wondering how we're going to make it. Well, I stopped by to tell you how you're going to make it. Amen. The God that you serve is the one who's going to make everything well. I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. Amen. You start looking at our bills and wonder how am I going to pay these bills. Amen. If you can trust God to know that if he is for you, there is nothing that can be against you. God knows how to take those bills and put them on one side, and then God takes his multiplying hand on the other side, and as he works the magic with your will. Amen. He said, now don't make them anymore. I said, I got a witness here. Amen. Part of our problem is we look at stuff and we have to fail to count up the cost. Amen. The God will get you out of trouble, but don't keep getting back in trouble. Learn how to trust him that if he got you out once, amen, don't say, well, he did it once, he'll do it again. He can do it, but sometimes he's going to lead you to your own devices to learn a lesson. Amen. Amen. I want you to know there is a substitute for Isaac, there is a substitute for Amos. Amen. When I look at what God did for Isaac, I know that he did it for me. Amen. While I was yet a sinner, getting down the wrong road, amen, doing things wrong, the God that we serve loved me too much to leave me where I was, make me where I was, pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on the solid ground. Somebody better know the joy of being with the Lord. But can I tell you, in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. When the going gets tough, you gotta learn how to praise him. Amen. When you don't know how you're gonna make it, praise him. When it seems like you're being overwhelmed by society, praise him.
Yeah. If you call it out so they can hear you, amen, they will know that we're covered by the blood of Christ. And I believe this with you. It's impenetrable. You can't get in there. Amen. He will not allow you to go into where he is protected. Hallelujah. Now, let me just leave with a little story. I went to a school in Bethesda, Maryland. And some of the fellows decided they would go to the White House. They was going to go to the White House. They went behind the White House. And they got, I guess, 50 feet or so. And they ran up against Secret Service police. That building is protected. If the Secret Service can protect the White House, don't you know the God that we serve can protect His house? Amen. He's able to keep that that is committed unto Him.
That's right.
But you got to commit it to Him.
That's right.
And then part of our problem is we want to run with the foxes and the hens. You got to be one or the other. And I see for those who don't understand foxes and hens, amen. A fox is a natural, amen, natural predator. Amen. You can't make him do what he's not accustomed to doing.
That's right.
And so you don't put them together.
That's right.
And see, part of our problem is we want to run with the world. And we wonder how come there's so much of the world still in us. But when we decide to sell out completely, knowing that there is a substitute that paid the price that we should have paid, and we were incapable of doing it. Hallelujah. Not just made it possible that we can be redeemed and reclaimed.
Thank you.
If there's one today that has not made peace with God,